if all the Reconstruction monies hadn't disappeared?
Well, Reconstruction is almost non-existent right now because
of the
security situation.
That's what I mean. Look at the Reconstruction that's going on over there. Zilch. What's there to report good?
Well, there are certain pockets of the country, from what I've read and from what I've been told, that it is safe, that there are some areas where progress is being made, but in a good portion of it, it's not. I just think it's sad that these guys are being roped into doing something politically after doing such a great job for the country, that they have made this determination or allowed someone else to make a determination for them that the media is not reporting the good stuff. Steve in Orange County, you're on the Ed Schultz Show. Hello.
Hello. Hey, I know what happened. Cheney and the...
can set up some kind of an outfit.
Nesquik powder users are telling us why they switched to rich chocolate Ovaltine.
My girls don't like to drink white milk, and the only way I could get them to drink it was with chocolate milk. I'd seen on TV that Ovaltine has extra vitamins in it. Now I'm using it, and my girls love the taste, and they're drinking their milk, getting their calcium, and all the vitamins from Ovaltine. I stopped using Nesquik because it just doesn't have the vitamins that Ovaltine has.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
After the baby, I started working out and got a pain reliever for my knees. Went back to work, got something else for tension headaches. Baby got big, I got one more for my back. Every new pain, a different pain reliever. But not anymore. Today, I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, so I'm ready for anything. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unrehearsed, unscripted talk radio for the Left Coast. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. We are live and vivo on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, and Humboldt County. I want to dedicate this little tune here from Dr. John to Harry Whittington. He was hunting with Dick Cheney.
Right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I'd have said the right thing. But I must have used the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but I must have used the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what's good for. I've been in the right place.
Excuse me, Mr. Vice President, is that thing loaded?
Huh? I hit us in a bad place, but I'm having such a good time.
On the Peter B. Collins Show today, coming up in half an hour, we're going to meet the founders of ActBlue.com. It's a portal, a website where you can connect with progressive candidates who are making the run for political office this year, find out more about them, and I think even put some money in their campaigns. Also on the program today, a hard look at the courts martials that followed the scandal at Abu Ghraib prison. Joanne Wipajewski, who writes for Harper's Magazine in the February edition, attended the trials at Fort Hood of Charles Grainer, Lindy England, Ivan Frederick, and others. And she covers the bad apples, the unfair prosecution, the soap opera. Yeah, Charlie Grainer got Lindy pregnant and then married Megan. And they were all there in the cell block partying and doing all that wacky stuff at Abu Ghraib. And this is attended the trials at Fort Hood of Charles Grainer, Lindy England, Ivan Frederick, and others. And she covers the bad apples, the unfair prosecution, the soap opera. Yeah, Charlie Grainer got Lindy pregnant and then married Megan. And they were all there in the cell block partying and doing all that wacky stuff at Abu Ghraib. And this is a legacy that we will be living down as the United States of America for years to come. Joanne Wipajewski from 4 to 5 today, and then the Free Speech Zone with your calls, and maybe have some hunting tips or some shooting tips for Dick Cheney. Our first guest is Senior Fellow Paul Waldman. Hello, Paul. Welcome to the program today.
Hi, Peter. It's good to be with you.
Interesting to see the way the White House reacted in Chappaquiddick style to the news that the vice president had an errant shotgun blast that hit his friend Harry Whittington down there on the ranch owned by the Armstrong family with their...
on her own accord to talk to this reporter who she knew at a local newspaper. And then the story then spread from there to the national media, although it seemed to take about 24 hours. which is a little odd when the vice president shoots somebody. Mm-hmm. But then the White House, then they came out and said that no.
She helped launch the senator's career as Republican National Committee co-chair back in 71. So Anne Armstrong is older, and she is tied with Poppy Bush. That's where she got her political start. Then W appointed Ms. Armstrong, Anne Armstrong, as a regent of Texas A&M in 1997. And on down the line, Catherine Armstrong is her daughter, and she is a Bush pioneer, meaning that she contributed $100,000 at least once to the presidential campaigns of Bush and Cheney. So it's a very interesting connection. Dick Cheney goes hunting with, Antonin Scalia of the Supreme Court, who then declined to recuse himself from a decision of very deeply involving the vice president. That, of course, the disclosure of his secret energy task force meetings and the attendees at the White House back in 2001. So when Dick Cheney goes hunting, you better get out of the way.
Yes. Perhaps Justice Scalia would have, if he had decided to recuse himself, he might have found himself getting sprayed with birdshot. Who knows?
Yeah.
But in any case, this woman, Catherine Armstrong, who's been speaking to the press about this, you know, obviously she's a Bush loyalist for all those reasons that you just laid out. So I'm sure that they spent some time thinking about how they were going to get this information out. But it's obvious that they were thinking long and hard, because it took almost 24 hours. For the national media to get wind of it. And you would think when the vice president shoots somebody, that, you know, that would be something that perhaps the public has would want to know about pretty quickly.
A little exchange here between reporters and Scott McClellan in the White House press room today. Let's listen. See if we can get this clip to play.
She said that she thought this was going to become a story, so she was going to go to the local press. She also told CNN that she did not believe the vice president's office was aware that she was going to go to the local press. How do you square that with your account?
The vice president spoke with her directly, and they agreed that she would make it public.
So you're saying that she's lying? That her
No, you ought to check with her.
Check with her. You're saying that's not correct?
The vice president spoke directly with Mrs. Armstrong, and they agreed that she would make the information public.
So that's there's a little quibbling there, because McClellan had originally said that the language was about the office of the vice president, and then apparently the vice president spoke directly with Armstrong and did not object to her going to her local newspaper as the way to disclose.
The people in your party might be behind you. But in any case, apparently the man is going to make it through despite being sprayed with birdshot or shot, depending on your perspective.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out. Now to another story that Media Matters analyzed in the past week. You know, usually we talk about Chris Matthews, and we'll get to him, and we talk about Bill O'Reilly and some of the offenders on the far right. But most people never suspect that the Associated Press does anything but play it down the middle. And you have encountered AP coverage that took the White House talking points about Abramoff and Democrats. And in particular, the White House is eager to play the Abramoff scandal as bipartisan in nature. And AP misreported a story that implicated, and again implicated incorrectly, Harry Reid, House talking points about Abramoff and Democrats. And in particular, the White House is eager to play the Abramoff scandal as bipartisan in nature. And AP misreported a story that implicated, and again implicated incorrectly, Harry Reid as a toady of Jack Abramoff. Tell us a little bit about this and the former employee at Greenberg Trowrig, who has gone public saying, wait a minute, I did not say what the AP said I said.
Yeah, you know, we're not trying to say that there's some sort of insidious conservative bias at the Associated Press, but just like any news organization, sometimes they get things wrong, and sometimes when they get things wrong, they do so in a way that seems to play into the Republican talking points. Now, as you say, the Republicans have been furiously spinning trying to get across the idea that Jack Abramoff is not really a Republican, that this isn't really a Republican scandal, that there are Democrats enveloped in it too. And one of the things that
I've seen them in your sites at Media Matters. We'll continue after a break with Paul. Personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angie features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and
Rock Roller Real Estate.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney,
they could do that and nab it the first day it's out.
Paul Waldman with only one N, and it's called Being Right is Not Enough. If you want to order it online and get an advance order in place. And as soon as it's officially published, Paul, let's spend an hour on the program and talk about your views and how we can learn some of those lessons and really help the progressives mount an effective effort in this midterm election year. A lot of work to be done. One, there are two people I'm very excited about. Chuck Panacchio in Pennsylvania, who is challenging the handpicked Democratic candidate to take on Rick Santorum. I think that's going to be a very interesting race. And also the fellow Ned Lamont in Connecticut, who is planning to take on Joe Lieberman. I think those are both very interesting races. Let's take a look at Chris Matthews. And should we just get him membership in the Republican Party, Paul? Would that make it a little bit more honest?
Well, maybe. But there, even if it's not the entire Republican Party, there are a few people in the Republican Party that Chris Matthews just can't seem to get enough of. One of them is President Bush, who has, as Matthews once said, a sunny nobility. And the other is John McCain. Now, in this, Chris Matthews is, I would say, perhaps a slightly exaggerated version of the entire Washington press corps. As far as the Washington press corps is concerned, John McCain can really do no wrong. He walks on water. He is above partisanship. He's a maverick. He's not a regular Republican. And he's a straight talker who always tells the truth. And the last time John McCain got a piece of bad press, I don't know, Ronald Reagan may have been in the White House. But few people are more effusive in their praise of McCain than Chris Matthews is.
Now, he got into a dust-up, McCain did, with Barack Obama, the freshman senator from Illinois, over the plans to reform ethics and lobbying and all those sorts of things in Congress. And it looked kind of bitter. And this letter that McCain wrote seemed extremely nasty in the invective that he used. But Chris Matthews played it as hardball and basically just cheered McCain on. Let's listen to this clip, and then we'll talk about it further.
Before we go to break, however, the big fight in Washington, fortunately, this week wasn't about East and West. It was a new kid on the block versus Mr. Straight Talk. First, John McCain calls out freshman Senator Barack Obama as a double-crosser. Obama acts innocent, saying he's puzzled by McCain's assault. Washington is stunned at the sight of a real go-at-it in broad daylight. You talking to me? But the next day, it's all sweetness and light.
Wake up.
Well, the fight's over, but I give it to McCain.
So he just acted as judge and jury there and referee and said McCain won. But it really appeared in the end that Obama got through to McCain and McCain apologized. Am I correct about that, Paul?
Well, as far as I know, and you're right. You know, they had a meeting where they were going to talk about doing some sort of bipartisan initiative on lobbying reform, and then Obama later decided that he was going to work with other Democrats on it. And McCain wrote this rather sort of childish, sarcastic letter about how he thought that Obama was principled and was telling the truth, but he must have been wrong. And I think most people who look at it honestly say that Obama sort of took the high road, mm-hmm. And he came out looking better through this whole thing, which is a little bit of a tempest in a teapot to begin with.
It is. Yeah, Paul, we're out of time, but thanks for joining us, and we'll talk again soon. Paul Waldman from MediaMatters.org on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo certified and factory trained technician with over 16 years experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family operated full service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let the gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me.
Just like a shroud you're clutching on, visions in blue. Catch.
Do you have visions of blue? Oh, that's Ultravox from the Peter B. Collins Tax-Deductible Music Archives. And this half hour, we're going to talk about a vision of a blue, or at least a bluer, America. There's a new website up called actblue.com. Ben Rahm is president and Matt DeBurglis is treasurer there. Gentlemen, welcome to our program. First, Ben, say hello.
Hi there, everyone. Peter, thanks for having us on.
It's my pleasure. And Matt, your greeting, please.
How are you?
we're voice printing you so that we can try to tell the difference over the rest of this segment. Well, gentlemen, thanks for joining us today. I just wanted to kick off with a couple of inspiring license plates that I have seen recently in California, where vanity plates are a fairly big thing. I saw a Toyota Prius with the license plate W-L-I-E-S. And I thought, that's inspiring.
And well, then, you guys have more letters to work with than we do. We're in Boston.
Oh, well, we get seven maximum. And then over the weekend, this one took a little deciphering, but it was a blue Honda with, I believe it was a hybrid, and it had the license plate BLUST7. And I think he was trying for Blue State 7. That's what I got out of it. So there are people who have these things on their minds. And Ben, first, tell us the idea, the mission statement for ActBlue.com.
Well, the idea is that anybody can go out and fundraise for the Democrats of their choice. Anyone can do this. You don't. I'm sorry?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Anybody can do this. You don't need to be a technological whiz. We say if you can send email and if you can order a book on Amazon, you can go out and fundraise for the Democrats of your choice.
Mm-hmm.
You just log on to the site. That's actblue.com. Pick the one or the five or the dozen Democratic candidates running for House or Senate that you want to support, and you have your own page with those candidates. You email your friends. They come to the page, and they contribute. And you can see how much you've raised. The candidates know that you, the grassroots fundraiser, are the one responsible for the money, and we take care of all the ugly stuff, moving the money around, making sure that everything makes the lawyers happy. And I guess in total, this is a way of making sure that the grassroots, regular folks, not big money people, are able to really push things forward and make a lot of stuff happen in the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm. And, Matt, is this intended, for example, in California, we don't have a lot of significant races shaping up in this coming cycle. Dianne Feinstein will waltz to reelection, and most of the congressional seats are pretty safe due to redistricting, gerrymandering, and the general nature of incumbency. But, for example, I'm very excited about Chuck Panaccio, who is a true progressive who is running for the right to oppose Rick Santorum in the U.S. Senate race in November. But first, he has to beat the handpicked centrist Democrat, Bob Casey, Jr. So I'm excited about that. In fact, I have pledged to give a little cash to Chuck Panaccio. Could I do that through the site, Matt?
You certainly can. One of the things that we're very proud of is that a lot of the cash that people gave in the 2004 election went to these closest races around the country. And I'm in the same boat as you. We're in Massachusetts. There's no close race here. But there are plenty of active contributors and fundraisers who want to find the races around the country, the Senate races in a swing state and so forth, or a race like a House race in one of the districts where there is a tight contest, and kind of focus their effort on those places where it makes the most difference.
And Matt, I'm reading here on the site, you actually have had some political campaign experience as a candidate. You ran for the Cambridge City Council there.
I think that's a charitable description. Yeah, I ran, and it's part of where ActBlue came from, is my experience learning how to organize a small group of people to take some action. And I think this is common in a lot of places, but it was the first time that a lot of the people who helped me out had done any sort of political work. And I think the big question that came out of it was, well, if I'm someone who can get really just a bunch of friends and colleagues and people that I know to take that kind of action, surely there are a lot of people out there who have their own circles of friends or their own coworkers. And what a great way to start with identifying some races, some candidates or issues or whatever it is that excites you, and getting them to take this immediate and useful step to becoming more politically active. Because in some sense, the money's great, but a big part of this is just getting people more involved, getting them to feel like they're part of the process, and bringing more people into this whole
civic participation, voting, recruiting more people themselves, and so on and so forth. And I think that's really what we're trying to do here more than anything else.
Well, and Matt, you touched on the two key things that a challenger, even a, you know, a very well-qualified one who might have what they call a political base, might have run before and has a list of supporters and people who have, you know, identified them and decided they can support them. And, of course, raising the money is the other great challenge. Because when you're in that position, the media almost always looks first at how much money you've raised before they decide whether to give you any coverage or not. And if you're not in the game, if you don't have a competitive amount of money showing up in your public reports, whether it's to the federal or a state agency, then the media tends to ignore you. They say, well, you know, he's a nice guy, but he's never going to win because he doesn't have any money. And that becomes the chicken and egg part that really discourages many people who are not millionaires and able to write a check to their campaign from their own funds. It discourages a lot of very qualified people from getting into political activism.
It does. I mean, it's polling and it's cash on hand. It's the two easy numbers that anybody can look at to see if you're a real campaign or not. And I would love to think that something like Act Blue, and we're certainly not the only people trying to solve this, but something like this, if it allows more people to run a race and be a competitive candidate and get that kind of media coverage and attention and be viewed as a legitimate challenge, I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see more of that. And, you know, it's not that we want to be able to send millions of dollars to all these races, but we certainly want people like Chuck Panaccio and anyone who doesn't come in with a lot of funding ahead of time to still be able to have a legitimate campaign.
Mm-hmm. That's Matt DeBurgolis. With us, too, has been Rahn, and they are involved in this new website, actblue.com. It's new to me, but you've been up for a couple of years now, actually. Is that right, Ben?
Yeah, that's right. We started thinking about this. I won't take you through the bad ideas that we went through before we did this, but we started with Gio, and you know, other folks want to support Bob Casey, and our, you know, to the extent that we have an agenda, it's helping Democrats win. So if you want to support a Democratic candidate, we can help you out. And we get questions about this. You know, why are you supporting this candidate, you know, too far left, or why are you supporting this candidate too far right? Our decision-making is really simple. If you're a Democrat, you're on the website, and then it's up to the fundraiser to decide where they want to put their effort.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good way of resolving it, because otherwise you would get into judgment calls, and you would end up having to either, you know, to essentially endorse the candidates.
Right. Who are we if we, you know, did what, you know, yet one more, you know, what many of these groups do, which is to pick a handful of candidates. I mean, the strength that I think we bring is an idea for anyone to take action on behalf of the five candidates or however many that they're really excited about, and to be able to reach out to their network of friends or colleagues or their organization and pitch the folks that that they think are most important.
Mm-hmm. Now, Matt DeBurgolis, we know that bundling is a technique that's been used by both parties to... So bundling does have its benefits, but isn't it also a way of skirting the rules of campaign finance in order to enhance the access or the clout of the individual who does the organizing part?
Well, the rule is about how much money a person can give. So whether it's each of those 50 people writing a check independently or signing them all in the same place, the crucial limit is an individual can only give so many dollars to a candidate, so many dollars to candidates in total, and so on and so forth. What I love about Act Blue, though, is that we're not bundling typically $2,000 checks. We're typically bundling $20 checks. And I think there's a populism, there's a kind of grassroots access to campaigns that happens when you can raise money for a community, but the money is coming in such small amounts that it's really about showing kind of a social movement behind whatever purpose you're raising money for. So a candidate may find himself with plenty of money because of a position he or she took on say, the environment. But in not being beholden to only a couple of donors or just one fundraiser who did all that fundraising, I think there's a net advantage when you can point at a community. Paul Hackett in Ohio this summer was in a special election, and he raised $450,000 from over 10,000 individual people in every state, kind of in every amount, from $5 up to the limit. And it was a remarkable story. I don't think anyone at the congressional level has ever had 10,000 online donors before, and it really talked about his broad appeal and his ability to attract different sorts of people that liked what he was saying or how he was saying it. And I'm really excited to be part of that. I think when you're only writing a $20 check, it's so important that you feel that you're contributing to something bigger and something meaningful, because what is $20 by itself going to buy you? Not a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But put together with all these other $20 contributions, it makes a real difference. And I think it's important to be able to aggregate those and to see them as part of a single community.
We're talking with Matt DeBurgolis, Treasurer, and Ben Ron, President of ActBlue.com. They're with us till the top of the hour, so if you have a question or comment, get on the line right now. And go ahead, Act Blue, 831-899-5792, a local call for the Central Coast. That's 831-899-KRXA. Toll free from Eureka or anywhere else you happen to be listening. Call me at 1-888-
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
You're special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, this is KRXA 540 News anchor Casey Lynch inviting you to join us for a new program, Coach Casey's Call, Saturday mornings from 11 to noon. The show is dedicated to promoting local athletes and the teams they compete for. Coach Casey's Call features in-studio guests as well as listener phone calls, giving you an opportunity.
Gentlemen, one of the things that many of us look at is the need to try to clean up the political system. In an ideal world, would you like to see taxpayer-financed campaigns as opposed to the race for money that our political leaders
have? Closer.
The website is actblue.com. I want to thank Ben and Matt for joining me today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks a lot.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Questions, but few answers.
Why did it take 21 hours to get official word of the Cheney shooting accident? I'm Mark Noller at the White House.
Michael Chertoff takes the heat on Katrina.
As the Secretary of Homeland Security, I am accountable and accept responsibility for the performance of the entire department.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It happened on Saturday. Vice President Dick Cheney, hunting quail in southern Texas, accidentally fired on one of his companions, 78-year-old Harry Whittington. The Austin lawyer was peppered with buckshot, but doctors say he'll be okay. So the focus has shifted to why the public was kept in the dark for so long.
It wasn't until 21 hours after the incident that official word of the shooting was obtained from the VP's office. And White House spokesman Scott McClellan had trouble explaining why it took that long, and he distanced himself from the process.
I knew that the vice president's office was working to get information out. I'm not going to get into all the discussions that are had, but it was the vice president's office that took the lead on this.
McClellan says Cheney decided the woman who owned the ranch on which he was hunting should put out the first word of the shooting. Cheney has yet to make a public comment on it. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Now this.
Man, it's Valentine's, so repeat after me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Now, go say it to your sweetheart. Say it over and over. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Now consider that by getting her diamond solitaire earrings from Zales, you're doing the exact same thing. Except you're shouting it for all the world, not just to hear, but to see. I love you. That wasn't so hard to say, was it?
Be brilliant. Shop Zales Valentine's Sale and get diamond solitaire earrings starting at just $99. Right now, only at Zales.
Martin, what's with the long blonde wig and the sword?
I am not Martin. I am Manuelo, the Spanish knight, and you are my chambermaid.
Have you been drinking?
I shiver with longing to bathe in your warmth. That's why I come bearing this gift.
A diamond right-hand ring for Valentine's Day?
Yes, my smoldering little maid. It was made for you.
Oh, Manuelo.
Anyone can be a romantic hero this Valentine's Day. Give her a diamond right-hand ring that shows you know who she really is. Go to adiamondisforever.com/valentine and find the perfect style for her.
It's checkout time for some 12,000 families who've been living in hotels since losing their homes to Hurricane Katrina. Today, a federal judge in New Orleans cleared the way for FEMA to cut off payment for their rooms. With Congress about to issue a report on the response to Katrina, Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff today announced big changes, including a new permanent response force of 1,500 people at FEMA. And by the time the next hurricane season begins, June 1st, he promises a better system to deliver disaster aid.
We have to put agreements into place before the need arises again to ensure a network of relief products, supplies and transportation support that can be tracked and managed.
Chertoff disputes former FEMA Director Michael Brown's charge that the administration was too preoccupied with terrorism to focus on the potential for natural disaster. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has seen excerpts of the congressional report, and it's scathing.
A failure at every level, say the House Republicans who investigated Katrina, and they point fingers straight at the Bush administration. The report due out Wednesday says there was a failure of leadership. The president was not fully engaged, and Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff executed his responsibilities, quote, late, ineffectively, or not at all. The report says Louisiana officials failed to order a mandatory evacuation in time, and the New Orleans mayor exaggerated reports of lawlessness that slowed getting help there. If this is what happens when we have advance warning of a disaster, said the committee, we shudder to imagine the consequences when we do not. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The administration insists President Bush was fully involved. Four American soldiers died today when they were ambushed in central Afghanistan after their armored Humvee was hit by a roadside bomb. U.S. military officials say the attackers opened fire with guns and rocket-propelled grenades. It's been an eventful day at the Winter Games. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has that story.
There were spills and thrills in Torino.
Got away from her.
American Samantha Rotrosi was involved in a spectacular crash on the luge course.
She appears to be out cold.
Rotrosi appeared to be unconscious for a time, but did not suffer any serious injuries. There was another crash during a practice for the women's downhill. American Lindsay Kildow fell, then flew through the air.
She hooked a tip, and that caused her to go off the jump.
She suffered, took the gold. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the Winter Olympics in Torino.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Welcome back to the Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just
turn. Now, should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is sports speed, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
Drive up and down the left coast. This hour, we're going to talk about the sordid leg
track when you miss a turn. You want to ask TomTom, not Dan Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
Drive up and down the left coast. This hour, we're going to talk about the sordid legacy of the U.S. occupation of Abu Ghraib Prison.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in this town. See, me and the boys, we don't like it, so we're getting up and going down. High and low, looking right to left.
Drive up and down the left coast. This hour, we're going to talk about the sordid legacy of the U.S. occupation of Abu Ghraib Prison.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in this town. See, me and the boys, we don't like it, so we're getting up and going down. High and low, looking right to left. If you see us coming, I think it's best to move away. Do you hear what I say from under my breath?
Insane.
Been to Iraq or is going, and the town, therefore, which relies completely on the base, it was turned into a military base in 1942, and is. Basically, its fortunes are tied directly to the base because its entire economic structure was transformed in that making. But as you are there longer, you know, you stop seeing them, you stop noticing them, it stops seeing so oppressive. You think, oh, well, you could do anything here. And I mean, I thought that was, I'm back a long way.
That's interesting. But
these soldiers basically arrived in Abu Ghraib. They were military police, but... some military police are trained and are supposed to deal with prisoners of war, and some military police are supposed to escort convoys or escort VIPs or do other kinds of escort duty, guard duty type things. And this particular MP unit, the 372nd military police unit, was the latter. That is, they escorted convoys. They were not tasked or trained to deal with prisoners.
Mm-hmm. Now, Joanne, coming back to Fort Hood for a moment, was it selected as the venue for these courts-martials related to the Abu Ghraib offenses because the jury pool would be extremely conservative and deferential to military leadership?
No. It was chosen. I think it's probably safe to say that wherever the courts-martial had been held, these soldiers would have been convicted. And I think it's safe to say that every military jury presented with these cases would have to find the defendant guilty on the evidence, but also within the confines of a military institution where, you know, really the injured party is the Army, and it was very clear that the Army needed convictions, and people were embarrassed by these soldiers, and they felt their Army values were you know, in the balance. And so I don't think there's anything more or less conservative about a jury pool in Fort Hood. Very technically, the reason the courts-martial were held in Fort Hood was that the head of ground forces in Iraq at the time that the trials were being convened was the head of what's called 3 Corps in the Army, which is based at Fort Hood. That's General Metz. And so he could decide where the trials would be held. And he could have decided they'd be held in Iraq, as indeed the very first sentencing hearing in these cases Jeremy Sivitz was held, or they could have been held in Germany or any place he wanted to choose. And he just decided, well, you know, his home base was Fort Hood, The trials might go a long time. He might be back in Fort Hood at the time they were going to happen. Why not have them at Fort Hood? So it was simply because he was in charge of ground forces in Iraq at the time trials were going to be convened, and he made that decision.
Joanne, we're going to take a break, and when we return, I want to talk about the bad apples theory, the way that a small group of low-ranking individuals were held responsible for what many of us believes to be a command-driven set of policies about torture and interrogation tactics at Abu Ghraib. We'll talk about the prosecution tactics and the limitations placed on the defendants. And we'll talk a little bit about the soap opera and who made a baby while he was at Abu Ghraib. That's all ahead as we continue with journalist Joanne Wipiewski. Her article in Harper's is a powerful story. It's in the February issue, and I encourage you to read it. It's called Judgment Days. If you have a question or comment, you're welcome to join us. 831-899-5792 Central Coast, or toll free at 888-579-2540. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings, but you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's
Day. In Salinas.
You send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings, but you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's
In Salinas, North 101.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's.
I'm in Salinas, North 101 at Russell Road. An accident's been cleared off to the center divide. This report brought to you by National University. A tech person who's also a people person is management material. Earn your MS in software engineering in just 12 months from National University. Visit the San Jose Academic Center today or call 1-800-NAT-UNIV. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking about Abu Ghraib and the convictions at facilities offending people like Greener and England and Fred. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking about Abu Ghraib and the convictions at facilities offending people like Greener and England and Frederick and Civits was.
I mean, there were seven people who were involved in this and who were charged, and four pled guilty and then had sentencing hearings, and three had full trials, and that was Sabrina Harmon, Lindy England, and Charles Greener. So those are the three full trials that I observed and I write about in the story. This is a tricky question, because in terms of approved it, not what they did. See, this is what they did. There was no evidence ever in court presented that anyone had said, you know, put a leash on this prisoner, put these prisoners in a pyramid, point at their penises while they're being forced to masturbate, put them in a position of simulated fellatio and take pictures of them and laugh at them and put the thumbs up. No one gave those orders. So it was a very pictures taken, but we don't know who set those scenes in motion. Those people are not on trial. And the people who authored the war, which is completely illegal, certainly are not on trial. And in fact, were reelected, and the people who have said torture is fine have been promoted, and have maintained their place in office. So this was not a mystery to anyone in the courtroom. Everyone knew. Yet none of that could be admitted. You know.
But by compartmentalizing this prosecution and by limiting the responsibility or the attempt to assign responsibility for these obvious violations to this group of seven individuals, it's similar to the way the government prosecuted Martha Stewart and said, well, we've cleaned up the corporate scandals in America.
Look, these people did something wrong, and they should have been punished for it, I believe. But at the same time, while you're watching the trials, sort of rooting for the defense the whole time, because everything the prosecution had to argue that this was some outrageous abrogation of American policy, outrageous abrogation of American law, and these people therefore had to be sent up. And then they were talking about the Army values and the Army procedures and et cetera, et cetera. And you knew that this...
Home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
Life's journey is both exciting and challenging. There are times when we all need a knowledgeable and caring guide to assist us along our life's path. If you or someone you know is facing retirement, let Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources provide you with the insightful and reasoned assistance that can only be obtained by many years at
Babe Prison and the 7 military members so far who have been convicted in or pled guilty for their roles in the abuse of detainees at Abu Ghraib. Our guest is Joanne Vipievsky. She wrote this powerful and lengthy article in Harper's February edition, which I recommend to you. And just to give you a quick sketch, because many people heard the names and heard some of the stories about Abu Ghraib, and it may have faded for you. And Joanne has a great summary here that I'll just lift to help you remember. Lindy England is the female who got pregnant at Abu Ghraib by Charles Grainer. She's the one who had that smiling face with the thumbs up, the guy on the leash, and a number of the other photographs that are seared into our memories. Two, besides England, have been convicted in separate trials. Charles Grainer, now serving 10 years in Leavenworth. Sabrina Harmon, a former specialist depicted like England, smiling and giving the thumbs up behind a human pyramid of naked Iraqi men. She was sentenced to 6 months. Four others pled guilty as part of agreements with the prosecution. Ivan Frederick, former staff sergeant, now doing 8.5 years at Leavenworth. Javal Davis, a former sergeant, sentenced to 6 months. Jeremy Sivitz, a former specialist, sentenced to 1 year. And Megan Ambule, former specialist, discharged from the Army without serving prison time. And the soap opera aspect of the story is that, as I alluded to a moment ago, Charles Grainer fathered a child with Lindy England. She apparently got pregnant while they were working together on that cell block at Abu Ghraib.
Actually, she got pregnant, I think, after they were removed from
okay.
Abu Ghraib, but they were already under investigation.
Okay. And then Megan Ambule is now married to Charles Grainer, which is kind of a switch, at least in the minds of those of us watching this from a distance. And she showed up on Chris Matthews' Hardball show in November pleading the case for Grainer, and Matthews made no mention of her own involvement and just treated her like a civilian wife of,
oh, really?
Of this man who is now serving 10 years at Leavenworth. I was shocked by that.
I didn't see that show, yeah.
Yeah, it was very interesting. So the soap opera aspects of this, Joanne, also revolve around the personality of Lindy England. And you went into some depth about that in the article. Describe her for our listeners and why, at least as I read the article, she comes across as somebody who was highly manipulable.
Well, she has a very odd cognitive problem. She, from childhood, would score very high on any visual cognitive test, but very low on any verbal one. So it would mean that she has a very sort of confused apprehension of the world. She understands information very well in one form and almost not at all well. Terribly in another form, that is, in the verbal form. So reading, she didn't talk until she was four. I mean, she was electively mute. She was born tongue-tied and oxygen-deprived. When she finally did speak, it was to a teacher's aide, and that was the only person she'd speak to that whole year. For most of her life, her high school was and her grade school were completely dedicated to getting her to function in the school setting. And what that meant was getting to follow the rules and the guidance and the authority, basically, of the teachers. And she did that very well. And a psychologist who testified at trial, Dr. Denny, who was an incredibly good witness and interesting person, said, she did what she was told, and she always did what she was told. And in the most emotional moments of all the trials, there was a point where he broke down into tears because he had been her child psychologist her whole grade school. Mm-hmm. And he said, he was just crying, and he said, "I feel responsible. Maybe we didn't shoot high enough for Lindy England. Maybe it wasn't enough to get her to function through school, to assign her, to recognize authority and to do what authority commanded or told her to do. We didn't help her think. We didn't help her think." And he was just weeping on the stands. And it was really powerful because this is one of the one of the things that I really wanted to convey or challenge in this whole thinking about Abu Ghraib was that there was something specially horrible or monstrous about these people. Now, there might be something specially awful about Charles Grainer, but there are other people involved in these terrible, terrible things who are not bad people, not awful people, not vicious, sadistic people, but who nonetheless did vicious, sadistic things. And we know from psychological tests and from, you know, history that put in awful situations, people will very often behave awfully. And so it's not just a case of sort of bad apples. You know, it's not just a case of finding more bad apples. It's a case of really, as a society, challenging that whole regimen of militarism, war, imperialism, the whole bag that puts people in prison in the first place. Prisons, the prison system in this country, where people are being deprived, sensorily deprived, where people are being tortured by rules of international law in terms of, you know, not being able to have any sensory input. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that the question isn't just, yes, Lindy England was a very limited individual, and then she always took her guide as somebody who was older, who had authority, who seemed to know what he was doing or she was doing. In school, it was the teacher. At Abu Ghraib, it was Charles Grainer, who was her boyfriend and who outranked her.
You also pointed out, and this was the first I'd heard of this, Joanne, you write, England, a former cashier at an IGA in Fort Ashby, West Virginia, worked days as a clerk in another part of the prison, but came most nights to the hard site to be with Grainer, her boyfriend at the time. So she was just hanging out.
That's
she
right.
wasn't really assigned there. She was not on duty.
No, and she wasn't even an MP. She was a clerk. I mean, she was in an MP unit, but she was never trained as an MP, even to escort, you know. She was a clerk.
And she was about 19 at the time, right? 19 or 20?
She turned, no. It, you know, the awful thing, the night of the pyramid,
mm-hmm.
November 7th,
yeah.
And it began a little before midnight on November 7th, and it ended after midnight. She turned 21 that night.
Okay.
She came down to the hard site that night to celebrate her birthday with her friends. And when she got there, her boyfriend was already slamming prisoners against the wall, slamming them onto the ground in a pile. And he said, "Hey, Lindy, get me a camera." And she ran to get his camera from the office and began taking pictures. Now, there was a senior sergeant on the scene at that point when she was taking those pictures, when he was slamming prisoners against the wall, when he was slamming prisoners on the floor, then that senior sergeant just stood there and watched. He's not been charged with anything.
We're going to take a call now. It's Andy in Monterey. Thanks for joining us, Peter B. Collins and Joanne Vivievsky.
Hi, Joanne. Hi, Peter B. How you doing?
Good.
Andy.
Hi, I was calling. Does this have anything to do with, I read something on the internet today about the UN has a humanitarian group looking into the closure of Abu Ghraib?
It was actually about Guantanamo Bay, Joanne. To my knowledge, it didn't cover Abu Ghraib
oh, yeah,
as well,
yeah,
did it?
Yeah.
Where they're connected, of course, is that the whole system of abusing detainees was begun in Afghanistan and then institutionalized in Guantanamo and then carried from Guantanamo to Iraq.
And that's Jeffrey Miller, the general who ran Gitmo and was sent to Gitmoize Abu Ghraib and most recently took the Fifth Amendment, rather unusually, in another case.
Yeah.
So do you think this is going to be maybe the trendsetter for this whole thing, or is this just a...
Well, I do think that the government has been... Has been swatted a little bit in its plans here legally. I mean, the Supreme Court has said that it can't do just anything it likes with detainees. The international community is now gearing up more strongly. The government just lost a case yesterday or today that it was claiming that a detainee that it had. It had no power over a detainee in Iraq, an American citizen, and was saying that citizen, you know, it hadn't, even though it controls Iraq, it said, well, we have no control. The guy can go to an Iraqi prison. And the courts just said, well, no, you can't. So there are beginning to be some reversals for the United States. But whether, you know, I think what I think is really shocking is that, you know, there's not more outrage in this country. I mean,
amen.
Representative outrage. I mean, in the streets, you know, that we have become a society that is just fine with rounding up black and Latino men in this country and having our economy run in some cities and towns completely on prisons, and satisfied that we are now doing the same all over the world. That is really, I mean, I would think that there would be more of an outrage over this.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's treated as just another reality show. People just kind of tune it out and say, well, it's ugly and it's vicious and it reflects badly on our country, but it was on my TV set, so I'll view it as entertainment. We're going to take a break and return with writer Joanne Vivievsky. You can join us with a question or comment about Abu Ghraib and the trials of the 7 individuals who've been held accountable to date. 831-899-5792, Central Coast. That's a local call. 831-899-KRXA. Or call me toll-free, Eureka, or anywhere else you're listening. 1-888-579-2540. You can also email me, Peter, at KRXA540.com. We'll continue in just a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you having a problem making your home loan payments? Do you have equity to protect? at your wit's end trying to figure out how you'll be able to keep your home? Would you like to speak to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice? Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender, and believe me, most lenders would rather negotiate with you than own your home. We can advise you about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. If you need us, you can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We personally answer the phone and don't pre-screen our calls. We're here to give you advice. We can give you your options 5 minutes after reviewing your credit report. We might be able to help you. We might not be able to help you. But if you never call us, you'll never know. That's 443-7277 for a five-minute solution. Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic now. It's 447. Here's Amy Knight.
Lots to talk about if you're traveling. On Highway 101 northbound at Russell Road in Salinas, a crash still clearing in the center of I. Highway Patrol on scene taking a report. Also, a new problem in Hollister, Briggs Road at 25, a two-car crash blocking lanes. Earlier accidents, South 17 at the Redwood Estates and South 17 at Highway 1 have both been completely cleared. Also, watch out for a broken down car in Carmel, Outlook Drive at Pine Hills Drive. It's in the middle of the roadway. Toyota owners, right now at your participating Genuine Toyota Service Centers, are giving away cash cards worth up to $20 with qualifying service or tire purchases. Restrictions apply. See dealers for details. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll catch you in about a half an hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm still Peter B. I'm glad you're listening. Lines available for you. We go into the free speech zone at 5 o'clock, an entire hour of your phone calls. Anybody want to volunteer to go quail hunting with Dick Cheney? Lines open for you now, 831-899-5792 Central Coast, or toll free from anywhere within the sound of my voice, 1-888-579-2540. We're talking this hour with writer Joanne Wipiewski and her powerful and lengthy piece in Harper's February edition details the trials that took place over the past year at Fort Hood in Texas and the convictions of some of the individuals who did not plead guilty there. And it's fascinating to read about it and to see the way the government was able to compartmentalize responsibility at a very low level. The highest ranking individual held responsible so far, Joanne, is a corporal or a sergeant?
A sergeant in terms of actually having to face jail time and face
right.
charges.
Mm-hmm.
Other people have got administrative letters. General Janet Karpinski, who was in charge of all the prisons, was knocked down to a colonel. But, you know, and so all kinds of people will say, well, their careers are over. Well, yeah, you know, they got their letters, and for them it's, you know, it's too bad. But they didn't have to go to jail. They didn't have to face, you know, shame and trial. And
there was no opportunity, for example, and I may be talking way out of line here because I'm not a lawyer, but as I look at the situation, we know about Jay Bybee, who wrote one of the memos arguing to change the definition of torture for Guantanamo and presumably the other detention centers around the world. He got rewarded with a lifetime appointment to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals here on the West Coast. And yet there was no opportunity at the trial to introduce any information about Alberto Gonzalez memoranda that called the Geneva Conventions quaint. That there was no ability for them to at least set the stage for a relaxation of the former standards of interrogation and detention that the Army used to adhere to, was there?
No, because, once again, the Army selected these instances very carefully. The Iraqis who were involved were not being abused in the course of an interrogation. They were not high value detainees. They were common criminals, with one exception: the very famous iconic photograph of the prisoner in the hood and the cape with wires from his fingers.
Mm-hmm.
He was set up on that box, and those wires put on his fingers in advance of an interrogation in the morning. And what happened to that guy? Well, he was in custody. He was at Abu Ghraib when charges were brought against all of these people. The government took a statement from him, which was an unsworn statement, which was in translation. It was with the Army investigators. They never took a sworn deposition. They never kept track of him. They let him go. He disappeared into Iraq. You know how hard it is to find people. So this individual, who could have told something about the actual regimen of interrogation, this only one guy who was in all of these abuses that were actually part of the trials, the government lost him.
Did they send him out to look for WMD?
And, you know, so the defense in Sabrina Harmon's trial, because she was accused of putting the wires on him, and it's not clear that she did, they moved to strike all that, to strike anything, all the charges involving this guy because of the nature of the information, and the fact that he wasn't around and that the government had not kept track of somebody who could have provided exculpatory testimony to the mm-hmm. to the defendant, to Sabrina Harmon, but the judge said no, it can go ahead. But other than that, you see, all of these people who were victimized were not victimized in the course of interrogation. The Army didn't bring charges against these same soldiers for anything they did in the course of interrogation. Now Charles Grainer said at his sentencing hearing, he talked about what he did as his regular job, and he called it terrorizing prisoners. And it was far worse, as I heard, than anything that was done on the nights of those pictures, awful and humiliating and terrible as those acts were. But he wasn't charged for actions that he took in the course of interrogation.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's take another caller.
As a result, the Bybee memo, the Gonzalez memo, any of those things, and anything that was involving people, because, you know, at first the Geneva Conventions were lifted for detainees
right.
taken in the global war on terror in Afghanistan or anywhere, but not Iraq. Mm-hmm. Iraq, they said, okay, Geneva Conventions applies. Well, this is what was very confusing to soldiers, because soldiers patch through all these places. Soldiers are in Afghanistan dealing with people. They're in Iraq dealing with people. Same places, different rules, but actually the rules aren't different. I mean, because it's anything goes until you get caught.
Jennifer from Marina, join us on the Peter B. Collins Show with writer Joanne Wipiewski.
Yes, hello?
Hi, Jennifer. Hi. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. Have you heard about that study that recently men find, get pleasure out of punishing people? who they feel are cheating or breaking the law.
I'm sorry, I couldn't really hear.
Say the question again, Jennifer.
Okay, have you heard about the study that it involved the people that were cheating were given a shock, and men actually enjoyed seeing the cheaters being punished.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that study.
The famous study is the Milgram study, in which I don't believe I don't know about the one you're talking about, Jennifer, but the Milgram experiment, there was a person in a room with would give some kind of shock.
Mm-hmm. Steve, let me just jump ahead. We're tight for time, Joanne.
People would go all the way to the end of the dial.
Okay, Steve and Salinas, you're next here. Join us.
Okay, thank you. A while ago we were talking about where's the outrage, and I think the problem is there are so many things to be outraged about, it just gets spread so thin.
Yeah.
I can think of like three things that Bush could probably be impeached for if there were thorough investigations, and just, you know, everything, the economy, the environment, everything. And it just the outrage is it's too thin to really concentrate on one thing.
You make a good point, Steve. Thanks for the call. Okay. Joanne, just a minute remaining, even less. Will we ever see the balance of the photographs from Abu Ghraib?
I'm amazed that we haven't. I'm amazed that someone hasn't leaked those. Now, certainly we saw more in the trial than have been depicted, but they were just different angles.
Okay. We're out of time, but thank you very much for the powerful piece you wrote and suffering through the various trips to Fort Hood, Texas.
Thanks a lot.
Joanne Vipievsky, the article's in Harper's February edition, and I urge you to pick it up. I'm Peter B. Collins. We open up the phones for you the next hour. Any subject, any viewpoint is welcome. You can call me right now. Get on the line, 899-5792 on the Central Coast. Toll free, 888-579-2540. Into the free speech zone next. Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The man wounded by Vice President Dick Cheney in a weekend hunting accident is recovering nicely. Harry Whittington's doctors say some of the birdshot will stay where it is. As for why the media didn't get the word right away, the White House says that was up to the Vice President's office.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. The Secret Service says Vice President Cheney was questioned about the shooting incident by local law enforcement in Texas. Disputing a report to the contrary, a spokesman says the sheriff's office was informed of the shooting on Saturday evening and an investigator got to ask Cheney about it early Sunday morning.
There's also new information on the Vice President's hunting trip. Texas wildlife officials say the hunting party had licenses but did not have stamps for any birds they may have shot. $7 stamps. The Vice President's office says a $7 check's in the mail. The state will write warning tickets to both Vice President Cheney and Harry Whittington. The Republican panel report on emergency response to Hurricane Katrina comes out on Wednesday. CBS News has gotten an early peek. Correspondent Bob Fuss.
A draft of the report from the House Republican Committee lays out what it calls a litany of mistakes, misjudgments, and lapses, and says the critical information from those on the scene that the levees in New Orleans broke was discounted by those higher up the chain of command. It puts blame on the White House, the Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, as well as state and local officials. The report says the tragedy was not only predictable, it was predicted, and the failure to respond to it quickly resulted in hundreds of deaths. Based on several months of investigations and hearings, the report is due to be released Wednesday. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
During those hearings, former FEMA Director Michael Brown claimed he didn't get the help he asked for. White House Homeland Security Advisor Frances Townsend.
President Bush knew well the danger of the storm and said so publicly. He knew then and knows today that the best way to protect people in these situations is to get them out of harm's way.
New Orleans had the means to evacuate its own people, too, but left 500 school buses to be flooded and let its drivers leave town. Like getting shot out of a giant soda straw to lose control of your ice sled at 70 miles an hour.
It was a frightening crash.
Got away from her.
That's Kevin Kiley on Westward 1. Samantha Rotrosi suddenly lost control. She came off her sled, crashed into the wall near the bottom of the track. She appeared to lose consciousness. An ambulance came to the scene. Rotrosi was taken away. Doctors say she suffered a concussion, required some stitches, but wasn't seriously injured. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the Winter Olympics in Torino.
Black gangs at war with Latino gangs in the Los Angeles County jails. The fighting's been going on more than a week, and there's been another murder. At Pitches Prison, where most of the fighting has occurred, inmates are held in large dormitories rather than in single cells. On Wall Street, the Dow was off nearly 27 points to close at 10,892. The Nasdaq lost about 22 points. Oil prices, $61.24 a barrel, down 60 cents. This is CBS News.
Everybody's talking about how Quaker oatmeal helps lower cholesterol.
She had a worry about her cholesterol.
He doesn't know what it means to have a problem. Congratulations, the rest of us have a problem. I decided to eat Quaker oatmeal for 30 days. It just gobbles up cholesterol.
Friends are spreading the word.
Mine went down 12 points. There's the proof.
I have a paper showing that my cholesterol dropped 17 points.
I dropped 4 points.
It's true. The soluble fiber from Quaker oatmeal in a low-saturated, low-cholesterol diet may reduce heart disease risk. Quaker oatmeal is something to smile about.
What? Come on.
Mammoth Car Insurance Company.
Yes, I was just on your website
for
trying
a quote,
to...
Please visit us online at
On Progressive Direct's website, you can talk to a person, not a recording. When you're getting a car insurance quote at Progressive.com, you can click on the Talk to Me button, and we'll call you right then to help finish your quote or answer your questions. So get a quote the easy way at Progressive.com. Available in most states and situations. Progressive Health and Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
Airline ticket kiosks are getting something of a makeover. CBS News correspondent Dave Barrett tells us an expansion.
Step up and find your carrier's icon on the kiosk screen.
You select the one for the airline that you're flying on.
Then
you'll be able to select seats, look at your frequent flyer information, get a boarding pass, get a receipt.
The process is streamlined, taking
a minute to up to about 2 minutes.
John Dungan is with Arink Incorporated, which builds the kiosks. They're currently seen in Las Vegas, Dallas, and White Plains, New York. In the future, passengers may have
the ability to drop your bag and get your boarding pass at convenient locations like hotel lobbies.
Dave Barrett, CBS News.
Actor Chris Penn died accidentally. Chris Penn was the brother of more famous Sean Penn, and his death on January 24th was a big shock to Hollywood. The Los Angeles coroner's office says he died of an enlarged heart and an adverse reaction to a mix of cough and cold medications. No indication of anything, they say, but an accident. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Man, it's Valentine's, so repeat after me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Now, go say it to your sweetheart. Say it over and over. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Now consider that by getting her diamond solitaire earrings from Zales, you're doing the exact same thing. Except you're shouting it for all the world, not just to hear, but to see. I love you. That wasn't so hard to say, was it?
Be brilliant. Shop Zales Valentine's Sale and get diamond solitaire earrings starting at just $99. Right now, only at Zales.
Martin, what's with the long blonde wig and the sword?
I am not Martin. I am Manuelo, the Spanish knight, and you are my chambermaid.
Have you been drinking?
I shiver with longing to bathe in your warmth. That's why I come bearing this gift.
A diamond right-hand ring for Valentine's Day?
Yes, my smoldering little maid. It was made for you.
Oh, Manuelo.
Anyone can be a romantic hero this Valentine's Day. Give her a diamond right-hand ring that shows you know who she really is. Go to adiamondisforever.com/valentine and find the perfect style for her.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Freedom. We're live on KGOE 1480, serving Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And we are heading into the free speech zone. Our entire hour is your phone calls. I'd like to hear from you. You want to talk about hunting with Dick Cheney? You may. How about hunting for the truth in America? That is a more challenging undertaking. If you want to talk about Abu Ghraib and the trials of those seven members of the army who essentially took the hit for a policy that we know originated much higher up, at least with General Jeffrey Miller, if not with Donald Rumsfeld himself. And in our first hour today, we had a delightful conversation with the two gentlemen at actblue.com, and that's a neat website where you can go and get information and make contributions to candidates, blue candidates, all over the country. And we also talked about the interesting way that the White House delayed informing the American people about the buckshot that went astray from Dick Cheney's shotgun. Yeah, it was just an accident, and I believe that. I mean, I certainly don't think that the vice president intentionally shot his hunting buddy. But it is quite a story, and again, the way the White House played it, it seems like they had to take a few hours to call Ted Kennedy and ask him how to handle a scandal. And of course, Cheney was relieved there were no young interns involved, and if he'd been drinking, we don't know about it. To more serious subjects, I have my problems with the New York Times. You know that. I'm very disappointed that they sat on the NSA spying story for over a year. If we had known in time for the 2004 presidential elections, it could have changed the outcome, particularly when you see how many Republicans have joined those of us dangerous liberal lefty Democrat types in opposing this president's breathtaking expansion of presidential powers. Well, in Sunday's lead editorial, the New York Times really nailed it. And I'll summarize it for you briefly here, lift a few lines, and then we'll go to your calls. It's entitled The Trust Gap. We can't think of a president who has gone to the American people more often than George W. Bush has to ask them to forget about things like democracy, judicial process, and the balance of powers, and just trust him. We also can't think of a president who has deserved that trust less. This has been a central flaw of Mr. Bush's presidency for a long time, but last week produced a flood of evidence that vividly drove home the point. And they mentioned three key areas: domestic spying and Gonzalez's testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee, the Abu Ghraib scandal that we just spent an hour talking about, and the update that we first reported on this program over a month ago, and the New York Times got to it last week, about the way our military is force-feeding detainees at Guantanamo Bay who wish to pursue a hunger strike in protest of their denial of basic due process and justice. And the final point the Times makes is on the war in Iraq. One of Mr. Bush's biggest trust-me moments was when he told Americans that the U.S. had to invade Iraq because it possessed dangerous weapons and posed an immediate threat to America. The White House has blocked a congressional investigation into whether it exaggerated the intelligence on Iraq and continues to insist that the decision to invade was based on the consensus of American intelligence agencies. But just on Friday, a man who has retired from the CIA, who was in charge of the intelligence on Iraq until last year, Paul Pillar, P-I-L-L-A-R, has told us that the administration cherry-picked intelligence to support a decision to invade that had been already made. That's not news to you and me, but it's further proof of what we have known for some time. There is a huge trust gap, and nice to see the New York Times identifying it and defining it in such clear terms. To your calls now, and by the way, I have a couple of lines available. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. North Coast, 1-888-579-2540. Email peter at krxa540.com or peter at peterbcollins.com. It'll all get to me eventually. Dave in the Pinnacles, join us and welcome. You're on the air.
How are you doing, Peter?
Not too bad, thank you.
Hey, I want to talk a little bit about the media's complacency in reporting the news. Like, you made a comment about how they shelved the story for a year and blah, blah, blah. But first, I'd just like to say the curious thing about Dick Cheney that I was wondering was, does he actually have a hunting license?
Yes, he does.
He does?
I read a news account that says he has a current Texas hunting license that was bought and paid for last fall.
Well, good for him.
Unlike Schwarzenegger, you'd figure if he went hunting, he would have forgotten to get a license.
Well, at any rate, you know, you mentioned the time shelving a story. But what I want to know, Peter, is what is your opinion? Why don't we get more freelance reporting? It seems like some of these stories could be worth gold.
Well, you make a good point. There are many stories like that that the media has not given much attention to. For example, on this program, we talk a lot about voting rights, about voting machines, about the honesty of elections, about stolen elections. And the so-called mainstream or corporate media just doesn't find the time to cover that. They don't think it's sexy enough, or, you know, maybe Paris Hilton hasn't taken a position. I'm not sure why, but these stories are much more important than so much of the dreck that they pump at us on a daily basis.
Well, I think it's perfectly logical to conceive that the reason these stories are shelved and what have you is that the people are being bought off. The news is being bought off.
Well, tell me why you think that, because I would like to be able to prove a point like that.
Well,
but for the
same
most part,
you mentioned about the shelved story in Iraq by the Times. I mean, why was that shelved? An important story like that. Why on earth would that stay on a shelf?
Well, the rationale they offer is that they were continuing to investigate, that they did believe that if they published, it would blow open a secret program that the government claimed was very important to defending us from future terrorist attacks. And basically, they swallowed it. They bought the administration line, and they tell two different stories now. And I you know, this is one of my reasons for not my reasons for not, you know, just saying that the New York Times is fabulous is that they do pull punches on some of these things. And it appears that the real reason they ultimately went public with the NSA spying story was that their reporter, James Risen, was publishing a book that they couldn't stop.
It was already being busted. They knew it.
So they went public with it for that reason. They also say that they took a year to investigate to see whether the program was actually producing the touted results, and they have concluded that it did not, and therefore they haven't compromised the program by going public about it. But I understand your point, and I do have the same questions for the New York Times. They're not very forthcoming with the answers, particularly on the NSA issue.
Well, not to mention the television media. That is just a total joke from what I've seen. Hey, have a good day, Peter.
All right, Dave. Thanks.
Okay,
I can't really disagree with you. There's a lot of bad stuff on TV. And I actually am having a hard time watching it these days because it is so frustrating, and it just makes me angry to watch Chris Matthews up there pontificating, repeating the Republican talking points, and selling their point of view to the American people on far too many occasions. More of your calls coming up next. There's a line open for you on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Toll free from Eureka or elsewhere. You can call me on 1-888-579-2540. It's the Free Speech Zone right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic on Monday here. Let's check in with Amy Knight, Metro Traffic.
A new injury accident in SoCal, Hardin Way at SoCal Drive, a car and an SUV involved. Good news for Salinas, an earlier accident north 101 at Russell Road is cleared from the center divide, but we're waiting for tow trucks to arrive in Hollister, Briggs Road at 25 with two cars blocking lanes. Also, police activity on Holman Highway at Scenic Drive is causing traffic to slow, so expect delays as you pass the scene there. Holman Highway at Scenic Drive. Now through April 3rd, lease an 06A6 3.2 for $519 per month. 36 months with $38.19 at signing. Tax and title and dealer fees are extra. Visit BayAreaAudiDealers.com for details. Metro Amy, or Amy Knight with traffic, either or, on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy.
You're welcome.
Peter B. Collins.
I'm your humble host, the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on here. We're in the free speech zone, taking your calls, any viewpoint, any issue, welcome. 831-899-5792 Central Coast, or toll free, 1-888-579-2540. Well, Howard Dean was speaking for me over the weekend. In an interview on Face the Nation, he said that if it turns out that the Vice President of the United States was responsible for the leaks that Scooter Libby now claims he was instructed to perform, that Dick Cheney ought to resign. And we go to your calls now, Jake in Arcata. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Good afternoon.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Pretty good, thanks.
You know, if it had been a Democratic vice president like Al Gore, for instance, who'd shot a guy in the face, you know those Republicans would definitely be calling for his resignation. So I don't know why they want to downplay this story. You know, the White House has all these questions
answered. Well, don't you think at minimum we should demand that Dick Cheney resign from the NRA?
Yeah, good point. Exactly. Yeah, I guess, you know, guns don't kill people. Vice presidents do. You know, but... Anyways, you know, the whole point is they tried to basically cover this up. The only reason the story got out is because the owner of the ranch went to the Corpus Christi paper. You know, the White House basically was totally silent about the story. That's why the White House press corps was on Scott McClellan today, because it was a cover-up again. And why? This is the whole point. These are why these suspicions have been raised. What is the White House trying to hide? We all know that Dick Cheney has two criminal convictions for drunk driving. So was he drunk when he shot the guy? I mean,
that's a fair question.
And did they try to hold this thing up for a while so that Cheney could sober up? I mean, what do you think?
Don't you have any compassion for conservatives? I mean, last week, think of what they had to deal with. A picture was published showing that the president actually did meet Jack Abramoff and a bunch of tribal chiefs from Texas who paid him $25,000 to grease their way into a meeting with George W. Bush. They're working on the response to the, you know, most recent disclosures about how early they knew about the problems in New Orleans and how Bush turned around and polished his golf clubs instead of, you know, worrying about how to rescue the people of New Orleans and prevent any further catastrophe from those floods. So can you give them a break? They had their hands full. They were spinning all weekend long, and then the unexpected occurred.
Yeah, you know, what's a peppering with buckshot, you know, between friends after all? You know?
It was friendly fire. Come on, very friendly fire.
Yeah, the great Orwellian term, right? You know, I just don't know why the I swear I've heard the mainstream media, all the networks, start to downplay this story like it's no big deal. Oh, he'll be all right. He's got a few hundred BBs in his head, no big deal. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, but the guy was in intensive care. I think they're probably trying to hide the fact that this guy's hurt worse than they're admitting to.
Well, that could be.
Yeah.
Because he really hasn't been heard from. Cheney made a special visit to the hospital Sunday before he flew back to Washington so that he could duck out of a meeting in the Oval Office with Kofi Annan before the press came in today. So you may be onto something. You know, my point is at this juncture, we have to wait and see what comes out. And, of course, we do have to balance that with the expectation that they will sanitize in every possible way whatever information does come out. But it is curious that given their access to the national media, and there's always a pool reporter traveling with the president and the vice president for the specific purpose that if they get shot or drop dead, that you know, they can get the word out quickly. So they bypassed the pool reporter who was somewhere in the vicinity, you know, and on call for Cheney, and decided to let it trickle up from the local newspaper there in Corpus Christi. I think that's an interesting media execution on the part of this White House.
Yeah, for a White House that's so used to scripting everything, it seems like an odd choice, to say the least. Yeah, I definitely do think they are trying to cover something up, and we should get to the bottom of it and ask Cheney these questions.
All right, thank you, Jake. Now to Tara in Bayside. Hello, Tara. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Welcome back.
Well, thank you very much. I must hang around some really bad circles because, you know, when they're drunk, they try to wait as long as possible before talking to the cops. Two.
I catch your drift. Go ahead.
You think
they were sipping on some wild turkey from a little
right.
A little flask while they were out there in the field?
Gun laws are that when you take a course, the first thing you learn is always make sure what is behind what you plan to shoot at.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, unless the law has changed, that it is a felony not to report a gunshot where there's a human being involved.
Well, it was Texas, so...
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought. You're in Texas.
Might have been an exception.
There, as somebody said today, they're used to shooting each other. You know, you swing around, hit some guy in the face full of buckshot. Happens all the time here in Texas.
You can imagine there on the Halliburton Armstrong Ranch that there was a large sign at the fence that read, you know, trespassers will be shot, survivors will be shot again.
Where I come from, it says survivors will be prosecuted.
Oh, okay. Well, it's Texas. Keep that in mind.
Listen, a lot of people may not be, maybe just afraid, and that's why they don't stand up. Because, you know, they could have been making an international phone call when they when they objected to some of the crimes that the administration is doing.
Well, and what if this fellow who was sprayed with buckshot, you know, he no longer was shot by the vice president, he was just sprayed.
Yeah, right.
Harry Whittington actually tried to play a practical joke, and he popped out of the bushes. It caused the quail to flutter, and that's what caused Cheney to turn around and shoot. But as he did so, did he say, "Hey, it's me, Osama"?
By the way, they go back a long way. And they were in something dirty together years and years ago, but I don't remember what it was.
Well, I have the facts in my hot little fingers here, Tara, so you asked the right guy. Anne Armstrong was the hostess of this hunting visit at the legendary King Ranch. It's a huge, like a 50,000-acre ranch there. It's now called the Armstrong Ranch, but it was originally called the King Ranch in Texas. And Tobin Armstrong is her late husband. He died last year, and Dick Cheney was one of the people who gave a eulogy. And let's see what else. Anne Armstrong served as a close advisor to President Nixon. She was President Ford's British ambassador. She was a director of Halliburton when they hired Dick Cheney. She is Kay Bailey Hutchison, the senator from Texas, best friend. She was formerly the Republican National Committee co-chair back in 1971. That was a gift from Poppy Bush.
I don't mean her. I mean him, the guy he shot.
Oh, he is a lawyer, and I don't have a fact sheet on him.
You should, because that's the he's the one that goes back a long way with Bush. And I'm not sure, but I think he was kind of involved in some kind of a cover-up.
Well, Harry Whittington, from what I know, is a crony from Texas, and he serves as head of the commission that regulates funeral homes and burial sites.
That's the one.
And so, I don't know, maybe he just wanted to get a head start on some embalming. Thanks a lot, Tara.
Thank you. We'll
pursue this further, and as the news breaks, we'll share it with you. More of your calls coming up next. It's the Free Speech Zone, 831-899-5792 for our Central Coast callers. That's 899-KRXA, or toll-free, 888-579-2540. This one's called The Ghost of a Texas Ladies' Man.
Cowboy smile came and faded. I reached for my towel on the floor. I didn't think it was exactly where I laid it. You don't scare me, you don't scare me, I said. To whatever it was floating in the air above my bed.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
The USDA recommends 2 to 4 servings of fruit a day, but most Americans simply aren't getting sufficient amounts of vitamins and minerals in their diet. Renowned herbalist Tony O'Donnell says that the secret to great health is a balanced and consistent diet of red foods. Tune in to KRXA AM 540 on Saturday, February 18th at 5 p.m. to hear his easy solution to health problems big and small. You won't want to miss this show on Saturday, February 18th at 5 p.m. right here on KRXA AM 540.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
All right, I'll try this.
Warm winds blowing, heat and blue sky, and a road that goes forever.
Forever. We're talking Texas. We're talking about a hunting weekend with Dick Cheney.
Been watching some TV. Been looking all around me. And what has come to be? Been talking to my neighbor. And he agrees with me. It's all gone crazy.
I did misspeak a few minutes ago, and I want to correct the record. Down there in Texas, the ranch where Dick Cheney was hunting is the Armstrong Ranch, which has been in that family since 1882, and it is adjacent to the King Ranch. I misspoke a few minutes ago and suggested they're one and the same. And, I do apologize for my error.
Excuse me.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and we dispatched our in-depth undercover low-budget investigative reporter to Corpus Christi, Texas, to look into the Vice President's weekend hunting trip with the friendly fire bonus. Tommy Panic, what do you got for us, Tommy?
Hello, Peter. Very nice day. Very nice day turning into night here. I am live from Corpus Christi, Texas. What is that? I am I'm actually trespassing currently on the grounds of the Armstrong Family Ranch. You're right, it's the Armstrong Family Ranch. Ann Armstrong was actually a Halliburton director when that corporation hired the VP.
Right.
So, yeah, he gets to use her ranch whenever he wants. she gets to live in his underground bunker when all hell breaks loose. So let me start by saying I can't find any truth to the rumors that the vice president was intentionally hunting human. There are no Hurricane Katrina evacuees here. But on Saturday, the VP from Wyoming, that's the land where gun control is a steady hand, Sherry Whittington, as you've reported, the former commissioner of the Texas Funeral Service Commission, appointed by the president when he was the governor. Anyway, this guy is out of intensive care and really quite fortunate that the vice president had gone back to the shotgun. He had previously been firing an RPG launcher. He used a plasma cannon, a Gatling gun, even some stuff that's top secret. But this Armstrong woman who owns the ranch called the shooting victim bruised more than bloodied, and that his pride was more than anything else. I actually once spent a month in an ICU because of a wounded pride. It is fortunate for this guy that while most Americans don't have health care, he was shot by Deadeye Dick, who travels with his own doctor and ambulance. And by the way, the White House used to call it sprinkled, not shot. But maybe focused a little more on the kill than the hunt. The VP, who, as we all know, usually finds someone else to do his dirty work with boat hunting, this is driving around in a car and shooting stuff. It's basically perpetrating a drive-by and something totally frowned upon in the hunting community. But I think of particular interest was why the White House didn't release this info for nearly 24 hours.
Exactly.
Kind of baffling. You're talking about it quite a bit. But they apparently thought the Department of Homeland Security would respond, who thought FEMA would respond, who thought the Center for Faith and Fairness would respond. And nobody knew what to do here. And I did hear that the VP, who may try to claim this as combat experience of his own, had considered a New Year's resolution in which he'd stop telling people to go F themselves and simply shoot them. It's just far more therapeutic, and I actually must sign off now. I've got a lead on another farm. It's not the King Farm, which is adjacent to the Armstrong Farm, or the ranch, I should say, but another farm the VP likes to hunt at. It is reportedly stocked with illegal immigrants in Scooter Libby. But, I see a man, actually. No, wait a minute. Oh, that's a woman in khakis, Timberlands, and a rifle. Oh, my God, that's Liz in her comfy shoes.
That's our panic report for today. Chock full of facts. Thank you, Tommy Panic. Peter B., you're next on the line here on the Peter B. Show. I like that. Welcome to our program today.
Boy, that's a tough act to follow, but I would like to comment on the hunting incident myself. Peter, I think this raises the bar for being tough on terrorism. And how, you might ask.
Yes, how? How does it raise that bar, Peter?
Because, Peter, if Dick Cheney's willing to shoot his friends, how much tougher will Dick Cheney be on his enemies?
Oh, that's a good point.
And Peter, the... my comment about Dick Cheney's failure to report this is it's his commitment to the NRA. That's never really answer. And just as quick as you can say, hello, undisclosed location, Mr. Cheney's out of Texas.
Well, not only that, he showed up briefly at the White House this morning for a meeting with Kofi Annan from the United Nations, and it's possible that the Secretary General was there with a negative report about Dick's favorite sport, other than friendly fire with his hunting buddies, which is torture. And the United Nations is about to release this report, and Kofi Annan was there in the Oval Office. Dick Cheney was reported in attendance. And then when it came time to invite the press in for the photo op and a few questions for the president to deflect, Dick Cheney had already disappeared.
Now, see, Peter, this is the consistency the Republicans bring. Tough on friends, tough on torture, and even tougher on our enemies. And my last question, Peter, does this mean that Hillary Clinton has to accidentally shoot Christine Whitman to gain political points?
God.
I don't know.
I don't know if we want, you know, armed women. Wouldn't mud wrestling be more fun?
Only thing worse than kids with guns.
Yeah. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Good to hear from you. That leaves a line open. In fact, all our lines are open right now. You can call me with a comment on Dick Cheney's hunting prowess or anything else that's in the news. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, Eureka, or anywhere else. You can call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. A couple of quick program notes. Tomorrow afternoon in our 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with two individuals who served time in prison for crimes they didn't commit. One, a former cop from Rhode Island who was convicted of murder while he was employed by the police department, and after about 6 years in jail, DNA testing proved that he hadn't done it. And he still, while a court has ordered him back to work, has not been able to reclaim his job as a cop in Rhode Island. And we'll also meet a man who was serving a sentence for 45 years on a rape charge in California. He is the son of a California highway patrolman who did not believe his son's claims of innocence. And these are two people, just two, who have been freed from prison in the United States as a result of the efforts of the Innocence Project. And there's a powerful new film about it that we'll describe for you tomorrow on the program. Also, I have to give kudos to our intrepid producer, Matt Renner, because he's lined up Ned Lamont for Wednesday's show. Ned Lamont has recently impressed me simply by stating that he is willing to put some of his millions down to challenge Joe Lieberman in the Senate Democratic primary in Connecticut later this year. And we'll meet Ned Lamont and examine his progressive credentials. That'll be Wednesday afternoon right here on the PBC show. Billy joins us now from Capitola. Hello, Billy. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
You know, I was unhappy with the way my local paper, the Sentinel, handled the cartoon thing. And I wanted to ask you about your local paper.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the IJ?
I actually read the Chronicle.
Ah.
And the Chronicle, I felt, did a B-level job.
Did they reprint the cartoons?
They did not print the cartoons in the paper. They made them available on their website.
Ah.
And that's how I actually saw the depiction that has been most criticized, which was a rendering of the Prophet Muhammad, and in his hair or headdress is the outline of a bomb.
Yes,
an old-style round bomb with a fuse.
I saw it on Fox, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Fox is showing them.
I didn't realize that.
You know, the Sentinel basically said, we don't want to print stuff that offends members of our community. And I found that offensive. I can't believe anything less effective than a newspaper afraid to offend someone. I mean, for example, anytime you say the truth about George Bush, Republicans are offended, aren't they? They don't like free speech.
Well, there is a third rail in this country about religion, Billy, and I don't agree with it. I do not believe that one person's spiritual values give them the right to force others to censor their expression. And I simply believe that even though it is offensive in individual cases, that the freedom of expression trumps that and is much more important in a secular society with a First Amendment than in trying to promote political correctness and sensitivity to the religious values of individuals or groups.
You know, when I was growing up, I never felt the secular society was really threatened, even though I sort of resented saying the Lord's Prayer and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now I'm amazed at the level at which it really is a clash of cultures, and it's not just sort of Islam against the rest of us.
And let's take another recent example that I think is interesting, and that is the ongoing scandal of pedophilia in the Catholic Church.
Good one.
And, you know, we've seen the, you know, one diocese after another has made these huge cash settlements it now totals, you know, more than $1 billion across America for the Catholic Church. And secular newspapers, I think, have done a pretty good job of revealing the stories, profiling the victims, identifying the perpetrators, and also trying to unravel the cover-ups that have been enacted and erected by bishops and other higher-ups in the Catholic Church. But if you compare that coverage with the same kind of coverage of a murder case, a rape case, anything that doesn't involve clerics, you can see that the soft touch, the velvet glove, has been used in covering these issues of the Catholic Church. For example, the cardinal in Los Angeles, Mahoney, is widely believed to have perjured himself because he was the Bishop of Stockton before he went to Los Angeles, and it, again, is widely believed and has been verified in court that he moved priests around despite knowing that they were sex offenders, and he covered up their crimes, and he gave them fresh opportunities to amend their ways, which they used as fresh opportunities to continue their evil deeds.
Yeah,
and
what you're talking some of us most of us are second-class citizens. There's the special class, you know, the Cheneys who don't have to make police reports. There's the religions who get to, like, you know, not be criticized, not be questioned, allowed to believe what they like and then foist it upon us. And you're right. I mean, that's the thing. We have to sort of step up to all these things we accept blindly and that we give this extra space to. You know, the fact is that nothing can be sacred for us. Nothing can be sacred.
I'm running that line through my head, Billy, and that's a powerful statement. I agree with you. There should be nothing that is so sacred that it gets special treatment and that we are required to exercise restraint or political correctness in the face of obvious problems that arise.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. I'd like to hear from you. Do you want to comment on the cartoon Muslim scandal, on the vice president's hunting prowess? Anything in the news, you're welcome to comment on from any point of view. That's how it works here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open at 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live, Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, chefs, farmers, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by the Monterey County Growers and Vintners Association's 4th Annual Passport Weekend, February 17th, 18th, and 19th, travel the world without packing a suitcase.
49 now, KRXA 540. With one more look at your traffic situation, here's Amy Knight.
I still have a few things to talk about. We'll start in, well, the good news, Hollister. Briggs Road at 25, that earlier accident now clear. Still an accident in Soquel Hardin Way at Soquel Drive. And Holman Highway at Skyline Forest. A bit of police activity off to the side is still causing delays on Holman Highway. Otherwise, no new problems to report on Highway 1 through Moss Landing and everything checking in clear on 101 in both directions through Gilroy. Now through April 3rd, lease the 06A6 3.2 for $519 per month. 36 months, $38.19 due at signing. Tax, title, and details. Fees are extra. Actually, it's dealer fees. Visit BayAreaAudiDealers.com for details. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the final few minutes of the Peter B. Collins Show, and there's still room for your call. Get on the line right now. You can call me toll-free from anywhere, 1-888-579-2540, 888-579-2540. Or save me a nickel on the Central Coast. It's a local call, 831-899-5792. And I've been a little concerned that some of you are not getting your minimum daily adult requirement of irony. You know, ever since 9/11 changed everything, a lot of people felt that irony is lost on many Americans. After all, we're hunkered down in fear, and sometimes jokes are not welcome in circumstances like that. I've got a great joke about George W. Bush I'll tell you in a minute. Somebody emailed it to me. But I'd like to lift a few lines from Maureen Dowd's op-ed column from Saturday's New York Times. Because she is dead on in so many respects. And she started by trashing Dick Cheney, not knowing that he would elbow his way back into the news with a wayward shotgun spray. Vice President Cheney bitterly complains that national security leaks are endangering America. Unless, of course, he's doing the leaking, tapping Scooter Libby to reveal national security information to punish a political critic. President Bush says he will not talk about specific security threats to America. Unless, of course, he needs to talk about a specific threat to Los Angeles to confuse the public and gain some cheap political advantage. The White House says it has done everything possible to protect the homeland. Unless, of course, it hasn't. Then it can lie to hide the callous portrait of incurious George in Crawford as New Orleans drowned. The Attorney General can claim that torture and warrantless wiretapping are legal and mislead Congress. Unless, of course, enough Republicans stand up and say, as Arlen Specter told the Washington Post, that if the lickspittle lawyer thinks all this is legal, he's smoking Dutch cleanser. The president doesn't know the Indian taker Jack Abramoff. Unless, of course, W. has met him a dozen times, invited him to Crawford, and joked with him about his kids. The Bushies can continue to claim that the invasion of Iraq was justified because Saddam was a threat to our security, unless, of course, he wasn't. And the Cheney cabal was simply abusing the trust of Americans to push a wild-eyed political scheme. The column goes on. I think you get the drift. All right, I'll save my joke because we have someone either named Aaron or Anon on the line from Monterey. Is it Aaron or Anon?
It's Anonymous, Peter.
Hello, Anonymous. Welcome to our program.
Hi, Peter. I just wanted to let you know that I thought your comment about women and guns was very rude and uncalled for.
What did I say?
You and the Kentucky man were talking about how women shouldn't have guns.
I think what I said was somebody made a comment about Hillary Clinton using a gun on Christine Todd Whitman, and I deflected it into mud wrestling. That's what I recall saying. Are you still there? Oh, she's anonymous. Okay. Sorry if I offended you. On live radio, things happen, and I can understand if you took offense, so I apologize. This came in an email, and it made me laugh. Let's see how it works on you. President George W. Bush was scheduled to visit the Methodist Church in Washington one recent Sunday. Karl Rove made a visit to the bishop and said to him, We've been getting a lot of bad publicity among Methodists because of Bush's position on stem cell research, the war, Katrina, and such. I'll gladly make a contribution to the church of $100,000 if, during your sermon, you'd say the president is a saint. The bishop thinks it over for a few moments and says the church is in desperate need of funds. I will do it. So Bush arrives the following Sunday, looking especially smug, sneering for his photo ops, pardon me, while strutting his way cowboy style into the church. The sermon begins, and the bishop launches into his homily. George Bush is a petty, self-absorbed hypocrite, as well as a nitwit. He is a liar, a cheat, probably still a drunk, and a low-intelligence, sneaky weasel. He has lied about his military record, and then had the gall to put himself in uniform on a military jet, landing on a carrier, and then posing before a banner stating, "Mission accomplished." He invaded a country for oil and money, all the while lying to the American people about the war, with nary a care for the thousands of lives it has taken and continues to take. He is the worst example of a Methodist I've ever personally known or known of. But, compared to Dick Cheney, George Bush is a saint. I'd love to see Karl Rove write that check for $100,000. Well, we're into the final few minutes here of the Peter B. Collins Show. I want to thank you for listening today. Oh, yeah, I have one other item here. Thank you. I printed this out and had it standing by for just a moment like this. John Dean was the counsel to President Richard Nixon. And I'm old enough, and some of our listeners are too, to recall that he famously went into the Oval Office, and while the tape was running and capturing him, he told President Nixon there was a cancer on his presidency. And John Dean was one of the first inside the White House to speak the truth. And as a Republican, he has not shied away from telling the truth about the Bush administration. He wrote a book that was published last year that took them to task primarily over their secrecy issues. Well, if you go to truthout.org, there's a posting from Friday, February 10th, in which John Dean makes the case against the Bush administration on their claims of sweeping powers and the legitimacy of the spy program. And John Dean is so upset that he refers to Bush, he compares him to King George III. He says, "Warrantless wiretapping is not just a separation of powers violation. It's also a federal crime. I suspect we'll hear more from Chairman Spector on this issue, for he has a great respect for the rule of law. Equally illogical is Vice President Cheney's position. And if anyone does not believe that Cheney is not behind this ruckus, they don't know Cheney or his history. Let me start by describing his give-no-quarter stance." He goes on to describe last week's comments from Heather Wilson, the Republican congresswoman from Arizona. New Mexico, sorry. And then says that Dick Cheney wants to swing the pendulum back on the executive power issue. So I'm running out of time here, but I want to invite you to read it for yourself at truthout.org. Because when Republicans start speaking up and speaking honestly about the misdeeds of the Bush administration, well, we know we're on the right track. We just don't know how long it's going to take to get to our destination.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
I'm Peter B. Join me again tomorrow, 3 to 6 p.m. right here.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's Day extra special. We are located at 1250 Del Monte Avenue. Give us a call today, mention this ad, and receive a surprise gift. That's 641-0651. 641-0651. Remember, flowers...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. A number of reflective facets in the hunting accident involving Vice President Dick Cheney. Harry Whittington's doctors say he'll get to keep some of the Vice President's errant birdshot.
Those that are visible, that are there, that have access to, you'll take them out. If they're not life-threatening, in this case where they never were life-threatening, most of the time you just leave them be.
Whittington's doing well, according to his doctors. The political flap is over the 21-hour delay in getting the word out. The press corps was not present in Texas following the vice president, and the ranch's owner didn't tell the local paper until hours later. White House spokesman Scott McClellan says the vice president's office handled the PR chore, not him.
You can always look back at these issues and look at how to do a better job.
CBS News has obtained a draft report, release of which is due on Wednesday, on the government's response to Hurricane Katrina at all levels, and there's blame for all levels in it. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff.
I want to be clear. As the Secretary of Homeland Security, I am accountable and accept responsibility for the performance of the entire department.
A jury says the man who kidnapped and murdered 11-year-old Carly Brucia should die for the crimes.
Since a trial judge in Florida can override a jury's decision in death penalty cases, Joseph Smith and his attorneys are able to make statements that jurors couldn't hear. But so may Carly Brucia's friends and family. Angela Lakin is Carly's aunt.
We won't get to see her grow into this amazing woman and have this own family of her own. We lost a life so precious to us that it cannot ever be replaced.
Prosecutors read a statement from Carly's mother, who is in jail on drug and prostitution charges, actions she blames on her daughter's murder. Gordon Bird for CBS News, Sarasota, Florida.
It's the first scientific study into driver distractions, and it says cell phones are no worse than any other.
This is one of the first times that researchers actually videotaped drivers and measured how their vehicle reacted as they drove and tried to handle other tasks.
Talking on a cell phone overall really isn't much different than having a conversation with a passenger or, you know, trying to eat a hamburger or drink a soda.
University of Michigan researcher Jim Sager says while the study didn't measure distraction per se, it did show what they call secondary tasks had little effect on driver performance. Jeff Gilbert, CBS.